Good singing this morning, folks. Making a joyful noise. Well, praise the Lord this morning. Let's grab our Bibles and open up to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to cover our 12th session of pneumatology this morning. Pneumatology part 12. And Hebrews chapter 10. Now, this week we come to our second doctrine concerning identification of the believer. And that is the doctrine of perfection. We've spent many weeks on the first doctrine, which is the doctrine of the believer's share in the death of Jesus Christ. So today we move on to our second doctrine, the doctrine of perfection. And notice here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. We'll read one verse and then pray. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. We read, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And of course, this speaks of positional sanctification of the believer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for your word, and how we thank you for this verse. Lord, I love how it has both past tense and present tense, that you hath or already have perfected us, and we are, present tense, sanctified, perfected thereby. Lord, we just thank you for the work, the finished work of the cross. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. As we sang the songs this morning, it was particularly blessing our hearts and souls, just the words. We thank you that you are the great and glorious one that inhabiteth eternity. And Lord, we will worship you forevermore. We thank you that soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Soon, Lord, that trumpet will blow. We'll be raptured out of this sick world. And Father, forever, so shall we be with the Lord. Oh, how we look forward to that day. The song says we'll see him face to face. We shall behold him. Glory to God. Bless your word now, Lord, as we come to our second doctrine, the doctrine of perfection. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. This doctrine here, the doctrine of perfection, is closely related to the doctrine of the believer's share in the death of Jesus Christ. There are two doctrines of perfection, perfection and sanctification. Those are the other two that we'll study. Actually, today we will complete our study of the doctrine of perfection, because it is what it is, as you'll see from the scripture. And I'm so glad that it is true of every one of us who are born again. Tonight we'll explore our second doctrine, that of the believer's present perfection. Now, in scripture there are actually seven perfections. You knew I'd have to say that, right? That are spoken of. Let's identify each of them individually today. First, there is Old Testament perfection. Old Testament perfection. Go to Genesis chapter 6. And hold your place in Hebrews. We will be coming back. In Genesis chapter 6, we have a man named Noah. And the Bible makes an incredible statement concerning his walk with God in the midst of an evil world. Noah had nobody to worship with. He had no fellowship of the believer, just with the Lord. Amen. But he stood fast in his faith. And it says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Now, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. That's just, justified in an Old Testament sense, not new. It's not spelt the same. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, that is, upright. And Noah walked with God. Now, here is a man who was said to be perfect. Did it say he was sinless? No. No, but it did say that he was perfect. Now, Noah here is said to be perfect, and the Holy Spirit gives us the meaning of the word as being upright. That is, sincere. The Hebrew word used is tamayim. Tamayim means complete, whole, entire, sound. So, let's put it together. Noah is said to be sound or complete in his walk with God. Amen? Like another man named Enoch in chapter 5. Now, it does not mean that Noah was sinless. We know all men are sinners. Go to Job chapter 1. Let's examine a few guys that have this said about them. In Job chapter number 1, we have another man named Job. In Job chapter 1, look what it says about this guy. And remember, Job is post-deluge, but contemporary with Noah. This is amazing. Maybe not Noah himself, but for sure his sons. And his book happens to be the oldest book in the world. The oldest book known to man is the book of Job. It predates the writing of the Pentateuch by Moses. Job gave his book before Moses ever came along. In the book of Job, chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." He hated evil like we do. And the Bible says he was perfect and upright. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Go back to Moses. Deuteronomy 18. We know that this is an incredible chapter because it has the prophecy of that prophet which was to come. But look what he says here in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 13. Moses says to the people, children of Israel, "Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God." Footnote means upright or sincere. Upright or sincere. Not talking about sinner's perfection. None of us achieved that. There was one that did, praise God, and we're in him. All right. Psalm 37. David, what's David say about it? In Psalm 37, one of my favorite psalms. You can spend months in Psalm 37 and never exhaust it. It's really, really powerful stuff. Psalm 37, and look at verse 37. David writes, "Mark," or notice, "the perfect man, and behold the upright." Now notice how many times we see the word perfect combined with the word upright. Very interesting. "For the end of that man is peace." That man loves God. He's mature spiritually. He walks with God. That's why he's called perfect and upright. Though he's not perfect. Not perfect in our sense of the word. Keep in mind that these Old Testament saints are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 23. Back to Hebrews. Look in chapter 12. And whoever gets there first, read me verse 23.
"To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect."
Now, notice the divisions in this verse. We've got groupings of people. And the last grouping is a bunch of guys and gals who are called the spirits of just men made perfect. This is a very interesting verse because this points back to Old Testament saints. It's not talking about the bride of Christ. It's talking about Old Testament. We already are perfect. We're going to show you that today. We already are positionally perfected forever in Christ Jesus. Okay? They were not. They were made perfect. Look at that. I love how the Bible just clears everything up. They were just men made perfect. Being just and perfect in the Old Testament didn't make them positionally perfect. It talking about their practical daily walk. Now, notice here that they were just or justified under the Old Testament dispensation. They were made perfect in the new. And that was by Jesus Christ when he went to paradise and was received and accepted by them. He made them perfect. That is, positionally, they became glorified. Remember, they had already died physically. Okay. Secondly, there is positional perfection in Christ Jesus. This is our favorite, because this includes us. These are those who are part of the body and bride of Christ and already have perfection positionally. And thereby, they possess eternal security. That's why, if you, what more do you need? If you're already perfect in Christ, what more do you need to get to heaven? Nothing. Glory to God. We have positional perfection. And that's what that verse we first read was talking about. This is clearly a reference to the perfection of the finished work of Jesus Christ for the believer, and is in no way related to the daily life and practical walk of the believer. We're going to talk about that, because our practical walk in our daily life, our experience, doesn't always measure up. It doesn't always reflect what we truly are. Okay? But it doesn't change the fact. The truth is the truth. Glory to God. And that's a powerful incentive right there. We're going to talk about that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. We read that verse, and it says that for by one offering, there's the cross, he, Jesus Christ, hath, past tense, perfected forever. Wow! If we can grasp these words, perfected forever, all those that are sanctified. Oh, man! The battle's over. The war is done. The devil lost and we won. Because of Jesus. Amen? It's a done deal. Oh, I'm so glad it's already finished, like he said. All right. Now, this thirdly, there is spiritual maturity perfection. Spiritual maturity perfection. This points to those believers who have grown spiritually and entered the spirit-controlled life of identification and personal victory, which we're studying. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these folks are spoken of. There's three types of people in the world. Carnal, spiritual, and natural. Okay? Everybody falls into one of the three. Everybody. Alright, chapter 2. Look at verse 6. Paul says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Here, Paul identifies a group of people who are called perfect. Present tense. Now, he's not talking, he didn't say sinless. He said perfect. Now, this is not the same Greek word for positional perfection, okay? The Greek word here is archaios. Archaios. It translates having special aptitude for given uses. Did you hear that? Having special aptitude for given uses. This is like a student in school and they excel. They're ahead of the class and you can tell that person's going somewhere. I mean, they just have a mind. They just absorb what you're teaching, you know. That's what, this is what certain believers will just, like a spiritual sponge, soak up truths of God and become usable by God. Amen? Because they have special aptitude, that spiritual aptitude for given uses. Now, let's run this down. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14. Look with me at verse number 20. Verse 20 we read, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, he wants you to have spiritual understanding. Howbeit, in malice. What's malice? Anybody? Malice? What is that?
Hatred or malice, mm-hmm. Like sly. Can't explain it.
It's ill will toward another. Malice is when you want to hurt somebody. It's bad. When you get to that point, you better repent. Howbeit, in malice, be your children. But, you know, little kids, like those little poor little children that were killed, murdered, and slaughtered this week, they had no malice in them. They were just little kids, innocent. That's how the Lord wants us to be. I'll be in malice to be your children, but in understanding, be men. Let me see here. Am I in the right chapter? What, chapter 14? Oh, you know what it is? Because here he uses the same Greek word, the archaios word. The agios word for perfect. And he says, be amen. Be agios. All right. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Lost my train of thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And look with me at verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good company. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. I love that verse. He says, I want you to be perfect. I want you to be spiritually mature. That's what he's saying. Spiritual maturity perfection. That's what this one is. All right. The rest of those you can look up later. But this is incredible, the meaning of this word, this perfect here. The Holy Spirit is identifying certain believers who have grown spiritually and now possess an aptitude for God-given uses in God's divine program during the age of grace. Okay? This kind of perfection, which is spiritual maturity, is very important for those who will enter some, any kind of ministry. You know, whether it be a ladies' tea party ministry, whatever, mission field, whatever it might be, this is essential. You have to have this spiritual maturity, perfection, to serve God as we are. This is indeed a perfection to be greatly desired and sought after by every true Christian. Don't get me wrong, it's not just for servants of the Lord. This is for every Christian to be spiritually mature. This word agios is completely different than the word used for positional perfection, which is teleo. Teleo means made perfect by another. Okay, I love that how, you know, they had these, you know, incredible variations of word, of etymology of the Greek is very interesting. Fourthly, there is progressive perfection. Progressive perfection. Now, this perfection is progressive and indicates a continual direction of steady progress in spiritual development. Okay? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 3. Paul writes to the Galatians, who the Jews were trying to bring back into bondage of the law of Moses, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, the obvious answer is, no, you can't be. So, look what I wrote here. This Greek word, epitileo, it means to take upon oneself, to make an end for oneself. And twice, Strong's gives us the word self. It is directly contrary to the finished work of Jesus Christ for the believer. Note, progressive perfection is not possible under the dispensation of grace. It's an impossibility. And that's why Paul is saying to them, what, you're going to make yourself perfect by works of the flesh? There is no way. You cannot do it. It's impossible. But somebody else has already done it for you. Now, fifthly, there is perfection in some particular area. But perfection in some particular area. Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, look what Paul writes here in verse number 12. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now here is a very interesting verse, and it's very important verse. Listen carefully. This verse, notice here that the believer is in the will of God, and said to be perfectly in the center of it. Now, this is not mandatory for salvation. This is a Christian who seeks and does the will of God by the grace of Jesus Christ through the power of His Holy Spirit. Okay? Not all Christians experience this perfection, because this is perfection in a particular area. All right? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, I like this. Look at verse number 21. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I love that. But notice again that the will of God is included in this perfection. The perfection in a certain area. And He says, perfect in every good work to do His will. This is like a missionary in Africa. He's got perfection in a certain area. He's trained. He's prayed up. He's preached up. He's ready to go. He's ready to share the gospel. And he's being used in that way. Okay? It's perfection in a particular area. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry. Look with me in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So being perfect in a particular area. And that has the passage has to do with wisdom, of course. Okay, quickly. The rest of these verses you look up later. The Greek word for this, I'm sorry. This, sixthly, we've only got seven. Sixthly, there is ultimate perfection of the believer. This is heavenly perfection. This will occur at the point of glorification and be enjoyed throughout all eternity by the believer in body as well as spirit. Colossians 1:28. Flip back to Colossians and notice this perfection. This is ultimate perfection. In verse 28, whom we preach, Jesus Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now that's a heavenly presentation that he's talking about. When we get up yonder, we'll have this, it's called, I call it ultimate perfection. Glory to God. I call it heavenly perfection. Seventhly, and finally, by the way, the Greek word there for perfect is teleos. It's slightly different from the Greek word teleu, and its actual meaning is to be brought to its ultimate end, to be finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness, perfect, that which is perfect forever. Glory to God. That's our destiny. I love it. In heaven, we'll have heavenly perfection. Seventhly, there is the ultimate perfection of the body of Christ. This perfection is for the entire corporate body of believers in heaven. Okay? Together, corporately as the bride. Ephesians chapter 4, we see it clearly. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, we read in Ephesians 4 and verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we won't all get there till we all get to heaven. Amen? That's talking about ultimate perfection of the body of Christ. Because he says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You can't get, yeah, I know, you can't get that in this life, but we'll get it up yonder. And notice the word all in verse 13. It includes the entire body of Christ. That's because it signifies the complete church, the universal body and bride of Christ Jesus, corporately together. Ephesians chapter 5, if you're still there, look at verse 27. That he might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such blemish, but that it should be holy and without blemish, and that forevermore, I add. Amen. Glory to God. That's our destiny because of Jesus. Okay, in closing today, the word perfection, as found in the New Testament, is a translation of two Greek words, teleos, meaning mature, and charopelio, meaning adjusted. Now, neither of these words gives the implication of sinlessness. We still sin. Therefore, it is imperative for the believer to comprehend the difference between positional perfection and progressive or spiritual maturity perfection. Also, the proper comprehension of these truths is absolutely necessary for the realization of the Spirit-filled life of victory in the believer's daily walk. That's why we took our time to go through all seven of them. The reason I say this is simple. It is only when we begin to see and perceive our present perfection in Christ Jesus through the finished work of Jesus that we will begin to line up our practical walk with our eternal standing in the Savior. This brings us to our third critical doctrine concerning identification, the doctrine of sanctification. See how it's all coming together? We'll begin that next week, the doctrine of sanctification, and it won't be just one session. We'll be in it for a while because it has to do with three types of sanctification. Positional sanctification is perfect, okay? But then there's practical sanctification and other sanctifications for certain uses for the Lord. But we'll check that next time. Glory to God. And I love that in closing, Hebrews chapter 10. I absolutely love this verse. Verse 14. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Dear Lord, how we thank you this morning for the perfection that you have brought to us. Lord, when we ponder these truths, when we think of all that you've done for us, Lord, and how that there is no way that we ever could have improved ourselves in our own strength and our own way, Lord, we become so much more grateful for the cross. It all centers in the cross. Lord Jesus, you did it, and you did it right, and you did it forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're learning together, we're studying and praying together and seeking your face together, and we're growing together. That spiritual maturity perfection is coming on us gradually, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I thank you that until we take our final breath or get raptured, we're going to be progressing spiritually, that is, growing spiritually in that spiritual perfection, spiritual maturity. I thank you, Lord, that we've never arrived, and not in this life. We're ever growing, onward and upward, Christian soldiers, as we sang this morning. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love, your faithfulness, Lord, that we can depend upon you each and every day. You're so good to us, Lord, and it's so good to know that heavenly perfection is ours. We're heading for that ultimate glorification. Wow, what a destiny. Oh, what a great Savior. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, it's so encouraging.